Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Before his crucifixion, Jesus endured show trials to establish his so-called guilt. First, Jewish leaders passed judgment. Then he was handed over to the Roman court system. Today, the civil case against Jesus, another mockery of justice. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on For Us, the dramatic events marking the death and resurrection of Jesus. Here now is Dr. Lutzer with more of Jesus on trial for us, this time before the Romans.
Are you the King of the Jews? You'll notice that the charge now is not blasphemy. And the reason for that is because elsewhere what Pilate said was, if he's guilty about blasphemy, you judge him according to your law, because the Romans were not interested in whether or not a man blasphemed. So that's why the charge is now treason. He's undercutting Caesar. He is undercutting our law. He claims he's going to be king, and that might mean that he is going to supplant Caesar in ruling from somewhere, perhaps even Rome. And so, are you the King of the Jews? He answered and said, you've said so. Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. Three times Pilate is going to say this. Just can't find guilt. But you'll notice it says, they were urgent, verse 5, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and Galilee, even to this place. What they were saying is, it doesn't matter whether or not you're finding him guilty. We know that he is, and even if he isn't guilty of the things that we want him to be guilty of, our hatred is going to rule the day. So the first phase is before Pilate. The second phase is before Herod, verse 6. When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at the time. This is Herod Antipas. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him and was hoping to see some sign, some miracle. Oh, Jesus, I've heard you do miracles. Now that you're in my presence, do something. As if Jesus would do that for that purpose. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. They arrayed him in splendid clothing, and then they sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with one another. You see all of the psychological lessons that are being learned as we go through this text. Here you have two enemies. But when you have someone who's a problem and someone that you want to get rid of, and the crowds are chanting for vengeance, you become friends. You suddenly become friends in your evil deed. So he's brought back to Pilate. And he is brought there, and this actually is the third phase of the Roman trial. Begins with Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. Well, you know this story well, but I want to read it again. Verse 13, then Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore punish him and release him. I'll give you something. I'll have him whipped and beaten. And then surely that will satisfy you. This is the second time Pilate is saying that Jesus Christ is not guilty. And then it says, verse 18, but they cried out together, away with this man and release to us Barabbas. There was a custom among the Jews that on the Passover time, some prisoner could be released. And Pilate was saying, in effect, well, you want Jesus to be a prisoner, let me release Jesus to you. But the crowds kept saying, Barabbas. It was a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection and started in the city, and also for murder. Third time, Pilate says to them, he is not guilty. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why, what evil has he done? I have found no guilt deserving of death. I will therefore punish him and release him unto you. They were urgent, demanding with a loud cry that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. I have that underlined in my Bible. Their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, but he delivered over Jesus to their will. And the Jews anxiously said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. What was motivating the trials of Jesus? Pilate really understood human nature very well. Because elsewhere in another account, Pilate said this, he knew that it was for envy that they had delivered him. In other words, it was because Jesus made these teachers look bad. He's the one who got all of the crowds. He's the one who was able to do the miracles. He was able to teach with authority, and they weren't able to do that. And here was Jesus who was getting all of the tension, and it galled the religious leaders of the day and made them angry. And then he was claiming to be God, and he was proving it, and it became too much for them. And they wanted him out of the way, no matter how unjust their trials were. What I'd like to do is to draw some lessons for us. And let us remember that Jesus endured this for us, but also let us ask the question, how did Jesus react to all of this? And how should we react to injustice? Let me give you these lessons. First of all, it's very obvious. If Jesus didn't get justice, why should we think that we are entitled to it? If Jesus didn't get justice, why should we think that we are entitled to justice? I read yesterday that someone said, if you think that the court system is going to be fair to you just because you happen to be a nice person, that's like believing that a raging bull will not come after you because you're a vegetarian. The fact is, the world is fallen, my friend. And I thank God for the laws of the United States. I thank God for the courts of the United States, because oftentimes they do exactly what is right, and human beings are frail, and sometimes they make wrong decisions, but they make those wrong decisions without knowing that it's a wrong decision, and we should be grateful. But oftentimes what you find governing decisions is greed and hatred and revenge and rage and bribes. You see, that's why, and you know this story, it's happened 100 times. That's why a man in the middle of a divorce, he may not like his children or really take care of them well, but he will insist on having those children. He will insist on custody so that he can really sock it to his ex-wife whom he hates. All of that becomes a part of the judicial process. And in this fallen world, what we find today is that oftentimes it is these things that govern the courts. Now, I don't mean to be pessimistic. We should do all that we can to use the court systems to help people, to intercede for them, to become advocates for them. In the Holocaust Museum in Washington, I understand it says these words, thou shalt not be a victim, thou shalt not be a perpetrator, and above all, thou shalt not be a bystander. We should be willing to indeed become involved in the lives of others and do whatever we possibly can to help them. But at the same time, we recognize that in our fallen world, sometimes perfect justice is impossible. And the only point that I'm trying to stress here is that Jesus himself did not receive justice, therefore we should not think that we are entitled to it. We do the best we can, but at the same time we know that oftentimes it is other forces that are at work. And by the way, we should be grateful for this great country of the United States of America, because in other countries, if you've ever been there, you know that there is even much less justice than we often receive through our laws and our courts. There's a second lesson, and that is injustice on earth is recorded in heaven. Injustice on earth is recorded in heaven. It never escapes God's attention. Never. How did Jesus react to his injustice? There's a verse that I've often shared with you because it'll help many of you who are bitter, bitter at God, bitter at the injustices that you've endured, and you have vengeance in your heart and you want to get even. Here's a lesson from the life of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Now just notice carefully as I quote it. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not in return. When he was whipped and beaten, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to God, who judges righteously. You know what Jesus was saying during this period of time? Jesus was in effect saying, I don't need a fair trial on earth, because all of these things are going to be opened up again in heaven, and I can allow my Heavenly Father. My faith in my Heavenly Father is so great that I don't need to see justice. I am willing to entrust my case to the highest court, and I know He will do just by me in His good time. Let me ask you a question. Have those who gave Jesus Christ this unfair trial, have they ever been brought to justice? Not yet fully, not yet fully. Because you see, it is only in the day of resurrection when these court cases are going to be reopened and God is going to even the score. God is going to bring justice to the situation. And Jesus is saying, I can wait until then. My dear friend, would you today lay down all vengeance?
This is Pastor Lutzer, and let me speak directly to your heart today. You may be struggling with bitterness and anger because you have been the victim of injustice. And if I were to list the different ways in which we can experience injustice, it would be a very, very long list. But would you lay down your bitterness and your anger? Would you trust God, the supreme judge of the universe, who says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. It is I who judges. God will vindicate his people. Can you wait that long? I trust that you'll be able to, just like Jesus did. Full justice has not yet been brought to him for what happened here on earth, but come it will, and Jesus can wait. Give it to him, and he will help you.
Next time on Running to Win, why true justice awaits a future court on the day of resurrection. For Us is a 5-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.